Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti, and I'm in company, virtual company, Evan Spidotopoulos, writer and director of The Unholy. Thank you so much for being with me and with us.
Thank you for asking me. Where are you, by the way? What part of Italy?
I'm in Rome.
Ah,
I'm in Rome.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, that's my bedroom, and it's very sunny, even if it's 6:30.
Beautiful.
So the film is based on the book Shrine, which if I read correctly, you read as a teenager and
yes.
loved.
Yes.
So why do you think that it could work well on a cinematic level? And how would you describe The Unholy for our audience?
The Unholy is basically about a morally corrupt journalist who, in trying to revive his career, uncovers and promotes what seem to be miracles in a small Massachusetts town. And he becomes a celebrity again, and he controls the story, and everybody, the entire world has to come to his doorstep to get the story. But as he discovers, he's basically unleashed a supernatural Pandora's box. The miracles are coming from other sources, and he must either destroy his career in order to save the world, or he must completely hand his soul over to the darkness. What I really liked about the book when I was reading it, I was already a movie buff, and I recognized that it felt like a combination of Billy Wilder's great 1952 film, Ace in the Hole, meets The Exorcist. And Ace in the Hole is about a morally corrupt journalist who discovers that there are survivors in a small town in the aftermath of a cave-in. And instead of saving them, he hides their existence in order to milk the story as much as possible. So I really felt that in today's age, when fake news is in the zeitgeist, making fake news in the context of a ghost story was very topical and interesting.
Yes, I have to say that this is one of the themes that I love the most, because you first of all, there's this subtext, as you say, the supernatural threat is a metaphor of very real social and political damage that can be done by intentionally false narratives in the media, I'm quoting
yes.
you.
Yes.
And I thought it was a very effective metaphor. And I have to say that it made me think about even politicians nowadays in Italy, for example, they sometimes are even using people's faith and beliefs to maneuver somehow their choices.
Yep.
And fake news are a really a big help.
Absolutely.
So, I was wondering how much of that was in the book? And
A lot. The big difference is, because the book was written in 1983, it is almost entirely to do with the printed press. So Finn, the character of Jerry Finn, is competing with other newspapers. Now, there's no social media whatsoever, of course, 1983. And of course, in modernizing it, Finn is of the old world. He used to work for a company, a fictional newspaper called the Boston Examiner. But now his competitors are on blogs and on YouTube. And it's all this groundswell of amateur journalism that comes out of social media. So that was the modernization element. Chiara, there's one thing I keep forgetting to mention, because I'm talking to Italy today. Visually, the movie's a love letter to Mario Bava. So it was heavily influenced by Black Sunday and a movie called The Whip and the Body that Bava did. So all the angles, all the color schemes, the lighting patterns are just a little love letter to what Mario Bava created in the 60s. And I'm embarrassed that I keep forgetting to mention that. So here you go.
Yeah, since you're speaking about, also the visuals of the film, I'm curious to know how you worked on that and how you balance, let's say, like, try not to spoil the film, the idea of evil and the actual manifestation of it.
It was basically a combination of imagery that, came to me as I was reading the book. The book ends in a very different way. The book ends with, frankly, the human protagonists are helpless, and literally God shows up and takes care of business, which you can't do in a movie because it makes your characters useless. So it was a combination of what a third act that would be very compelling for a plot, a story, What could that be? What images could that create? And frankly, working within the limitations of a very tight budget. So, you know, there's another universe in which the movie is a $50 million budget and that crowd, you know, that crowd is 5,000 people in a field and da, da, da. But, it was very much the design of myself, of our producer, Sam Raimi, who is a legend in all films, but specifically horror movies, and our great director of photography, Craig Robleski. Now, Craig had been nominated for his union's top prize for a Twilight Zone episode called The Blurry Man just last year. And he was instrumental in helping me, getting into my brain and helping me visualize the writing that I was doing.
Going back to the team saw the film, I loved what you said about the fundamental theme of the film is beware of false prophets. Yep. And how do you work on this theme in particular? Because I thought that the film shows you the power of believing, which can also be a good thing. I mean, it can move the world, maybe in the wrong direction sometimes, but still, it's something very
But you hit on something. When it moves the world in the wrong directions, that isn't good. So that's where the false prophets come in. It's always beware of someone who shows up and says, I have a magic wand that will solve all your issues. The world is a very complex place. There are no easy answers to anything. So I think erring on the side of goodness is always the right way to do it. If somebody shows up and tells you everything will be wonderful if only we kill off 20% of our population, they're probably not the best guy to follow.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I mean, the scariest thing for me was like the simplest thing, I think, is that if, for example, as you said, the church is not safe, I mean, then there's nothing you can rely on. So that's why I was curious, you know, how you manage this simple and so powerful concept.
It just guides us, no? Yes, absolutely. I think, well, look, it's a matter of always in horror movies, you want to take away all safety precautions because otherwise it's not scary. So, yes, the evil in this film can enter a church and can do very bad things in a church. The point is that it's not just one person's spiritual strength that can stop an entity that is inflicting an entire community. It's a community's spiritual strength that can lead the community back towards good. And so that's ultimately what happens in the film. I mean, it's all about Finn convincing the entire town to turn away from, without giving anything away, the darkness encroaching. That's the idea.
Was it always your intention to have like a very, I don't want to say intense is not the right word, but a sort of a spiritual growth within your protagonist?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the references of Ace in the Hole, the Billy Wilder movie, is that you spend 99% of a movie in the company of a jerk. And the reason you go along with it is because it's Kirk Douglas. And so Kirk Douglas is charming and sexy and fun. And so you follow his evil doings because you're hoping, you like him so much that you're hoping he gets redeemed at the end. So I cast Jeffrey because he has such a track record of playing morally dubious characters that you love to hate. Like, obviously, Negan in The Walking Dead, but the comedian in Watchmen. These are characters that if they were played by a less charming actor, you wouldn't be able to watch this thing because you'd hate them so much. But having the character achieve redemption was always, from the very first moment of writing the screenplay, a target. And frankly, that's what attracted such a good actor.
Thank you so much, Evan, for being with us and for the film. And hope to meet you one day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Same here. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.